Oh, nice. Oh, you're live. Wow, that was really quick. What's up, comic book fans? This is Pete from Comic Books Transformed, and that is my good friend over there, Brian, who's wearing a Loathe sweatshirt.
Yes, that is not my feelings at the moment. This is actually a band, so.
Yes, today is definitely not a day to feel loathing because I think we're eating well right now, aren't we?
Yeah, this might be the most excited I've been to talk about something in a while.
Yes.
No, I was pretty excited to talk about Dune too, actually. So.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, right now we have Invincible back on Amazon Prime, and then we also have X-Men 97, which Brian and I are going to record after this video. We're going to record our review. But boy, like, talk about not being let down by adaptations.
Yeah. This episode's fantastic, and if I could throw any criticism at them for this, is that, you know, these mid-season breaks are rough.
Yeah. How long's it been since that first season?
You mean the first part of the season?
That's what I meant. I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's been a few months. Like, I feel like it ended in like December or something like that, didn't it?
That sounds right. Yeah. I mean, at least December. So it's been, you know, a good 3 months or so or more.
Yeah, and it was only four or five episodes in that first part there, and I think we're only getting four now or something similar to that. And I understand there were production delays and all that, and that's really the thing there. But man, there's so many storylines and it's so dense here that I really wish that we were going week to week with this, and yeah. Not like there wasn't a 3 month gap that I had to go kind of review and remember what the hell happened.
It's funny because, you know, you and I, we make notes before the show, and then I put them as these little tickers that go across the bottom of the screen, and I realized there's so many tickers for this Invincible episode because there's so much stuff that happens in Invincible season 2 episode 5.
November 24th was episode 4.
Dang, all right, well, that's a while. That's like around Thanksgiving time, and here we are. My spring break's already over. So, do you want to do the honors of doing like a little recap of season 2 so far?
Oh my God, no! Because I'm gonna mess up what's happened in the comic and what happens in the show. Okay.
All right. I think I can manage it then. So basically, the beginning of season 2 is like the fallout from Omni-Man beating Mark to a pulp and then flying off into space. We see what happens with Omni-Man. He flies to another planet. There he meets, he saves this alien crew of these like insect people. He falls in love with one of them, and then they end up having a kid together. The kid grows very quickly because the aliens have a very short lifespan. And so because of his sort of like immortal or like super long life, the kid is aging rapidly, but still it's going to take him a while to like get to an adult age. Besides that, on Earth, Mark doesn't really know what to do with himself. He's having some issues with his girlfriend. He is reluctant to be he's like being a superhero, but he's not like trying to be on any teams or anything like that, or like be in the spotlight. And then also Eve, she like gets into
she kind of leaves the superhero life behind in a way, and she kind of goes to live off in Africa.
Yeah,
she makes her own little triage. She comes back and she does some stuff to try to help people, not any kind of vigilante crime fighting, but just to helping people. And something goes wrong at some point. Like, she builds something with her powers and it wasn't structurally sound, so someone gets hurt.
She
kind of spirals a little bit and she goes back to her parents' house, believe it or not.
Yeah, and that's where she is once we get to this episode. And then with like the Guardians of the Globe, the Immortal is back. He's like recovered and he's the new leader of the Guardians of the Globe. And it's like a new team with like Rexplode, and Robot is on the team, but he's got like this cloned body and it's like a kid body. There's Monster Girl, there's Duplicate, and there's like a...
And Bulletproof.
Bulletproof, yes.
You know what I love this little tidbit about Bulletproof, and I completely forgot about it. I don't think we even mentioned it before, but the costume that Bulletproof wears is one of the costumes that that Invincible tries on initially when he goes to see that tailor. I forgot his name. Anyway, he tries on, he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And then we eventually see Bulletproof in that exact costume.
Yeah. I love that. And who's the voice of Bulletproof?
I don't know. Is it Carrie Payton? I'm guessing there.
Well, while you look that up, I want to do a little shout out right here. There's Mr. Frank. He is actually an author who I see like maybe two or three times a week. I'm on another Twitch stream that I go to for author Armand Rosamilia. And he's got a Twitch stream that's up 3 days a week. And Mr. Frank's on there a lot. He's always giving really funny jokes in the comments. Mr. Frank, we're really happy to have you on here, man. Thanks for watching. I don't know if you're a fan of Invincible. This might be a little boring for you. But me and my friend Brian are reviewing episode 5 of Invincible.
Well, he's got a fish there. So maybe that's a reference to the episode where Invincible goes back and he has to basically pay for the sins of his father for murdering the fish people king. And then yes. he's supposed to marry the fish queen.
It could be that. it kind of pops up when he goes on Armand Rosamilia's stream too. So I'm thinking that's like his thing. Well, look at his picture though. He's got a freaking cobra picture.
Nice.
On his shirt. Yeah. Nice, man. So anyway, we were doing our recap of Invincible season 2. And now let's just go right to the first episode.
Just to update here, Jay Farrow is Bulletproof.
Oh, and yeah, he's Carrie from
Payton,
Alive.
Carrie Payton is Black Samson. That's where I got that from.
Gotcha. Okay. I appreciate you looking those people up. So Rhea Seehorn, she's actually one of my favorite actresses, but I only really know her from Better Call Saul, which she's like really fantastic on that show. She's Andressa. She's the mother of Mark's half-brother. And she's in the very beginning of this episode. When we see her, she's old at this point because those creatures... You know,
yeah, they have a 9-month lifespan.
yeah. So like when you last saw her, she's kind of in her prime. Now she's like an elderly woman, and she basically tells Mark he has to bring his brother to Earth because she's gonna die soon.
Yeah, and basically they're saying that even though he's gonna age fast like they do, his aging will slow down eventually. He may not live as long as Mark does.
Yeah,
but In a short period of time, everyone he's ever known on this planet will be dead. So yeah. that's how she convinces Mark to take him back.
Yeah, exactly. So he does it. He brings his brother to Earth. I don't think they gave him a name yet either, right?
Man, they might have given them in the comic, and I don't know if they've said it in the show or not. So
yeah, he eventually gets a name in the comic. And then Mr. Franks is happy to be able to catch the stream. Dude, happy to have you, man. So he goes back to Earth, and then once he's there, he runs into his girlfriend, and a lot of shit has happened to her as well. Like she mentioned that her grandfather died. I don't think that happened in the comic, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
In the comic, she's just kind of hanging out with friends and doing things, and there's some tension there. There's some people that she may be her friends are kind of egging her on to dump Mark and go out with some other person.
Right. And she's just not as big a character in the comic as she is in the show.
I don't think so, no. She barely even had any lines in the comic for like a really long time. Like the show really, gave her a much bigger part.
Yeah. The show makes it to where it's like, oh, Mark and her might actually like stay together and something might happen with them. Whereas in the comic, it's like, oh, she's just kind of holding the place for Adam Eve.
Yeah, they definitely heavily imply that there. And I mean, spoiler alert, yeah, sort of.
Right. So, and I'm going to need your help, man, like kind of comparing stuff to the comic because it's been a long time since I saw read those first issues. But they have this other thread going on where Donald confronts Cecil about the fact that he's a fucking robot, right?
Yeah, no, I was really intrigued in the first half of the season because it seems like they were building towards this big mystery for it. And the comic gets very nonchalantly presented. It's like, it's not a mystery. It's just, it's known. Donald knows what he is.
Yeah.
I don't think he knows exactly why. I'm not really sure. It definitely didn't happen in the same way.
Yeah.
But they reveal it that Donald is a mostly cybernetic person. With really just his brain and a few other parts left over, but by means of another character, something similar happening. So in the first season, Mark and what's the friend's name? Man, William.
Yeah, Mark and William
go to college, and Mark kind of finds out about this guy who's abducting students and turning them into like these like undead cyborgy mind controlled things. And that really happens pretty recently in where this most of this other stuff in the comic is happening.
Yeah.
I mean, the show is happening right now. So like that just happened sort of in around the issue, the things that happened in this episode. But in the show, it happened back in season one, which is crazy. So they're really shuffling a lot of things around.
Yeah, it's weird because like there's so many issues of the comic. I'm not even sure how many there are. I think there's like maybe like 80 something issues of the comic. And some of these storylines, they like stretch out for like, you know, tens of issues. And you get like little references to things. But in the show, it's much more like compressed and focused. And they kind of like deal with things quickly, whereas in the comic it's like stretched.
Yeah, no. So so what were there 10 episodes in season one, or is it
Yeah.
So let's say we've seen 15 episodes so far, and that's about 42 issues worth of content for the most part, with some things shuffled around a little bit. Yeah, that's pretty insane, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what? Because like it's once a month, so like 42 issues. Jesus Christ, it's like almost 4 years of a comic, right?
Yeah, like they could this is two seasons, like a season and a half, really, you know?
Yeah,
I imagine they're really going to wrap this up with where the initial compendium ends, which is the first 48 issues.
Right.
That's 48 issues in two seasons is crazy.
Yeah, but it's so fucking good. It's so funny too, because there's this battle. I don't even remember what the hell the creature's name is in the beginning, but he's kind of like Thanos. He's beating the shit out of the Guardians of the Globe. And at one point, Shapesmith turns back into a Martian, and like Black Samson sees him change. And then later on, Shapesmith reveals to everyone that he's a Martian, and Black Samson's like, wait, everybody else knew this? I just thought it was funny.
Yeah, but like, that didn't happen that way in the comic. Everyone was legitimately shocked. So that was a nice little like joke addition to the show.
Yeah. And the guy that's Shapesmith is like the guy that's from like Parks and Rec, and he's
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah. He's pretty funny.
He is. Yeah. He's good. He's good. He was Leonardo in one of the more recent Turtle reboots, too.
Oh, nice. Nice. The one that had like Ice Cube and stuff that just came out?
No. The one before that. So Rise of the TMNT.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I got it. That cartoon. Yeah. My kid likes that one a lot.
Yeah.
So we have the Sequids, which are like these sort of like, you know, Starro kind of parasitic creatures that take people over. They're not able to take over the Martians, but they are able to take over humans. And they're on a big, massive ship coming to Earth by this episode. And basically the team, the Guardians of the Globe, pick the people that like have skin that can't get penetrated. And they're going to go fight these Sequids and stop this invasion. Now, is that pretty similar to the comic?
Yeah, it's pretty much exactly the way it is. The who goes on that mission and who stays behind is exactly from the comic.
Nice. Yeah, and you know, when Invincible sees Eve, he's all excited to see her. And you know, you haven't seen the two of them together in a while, and it's just like, you know, they're kind of fated to be together, those two.
Yeah, so the comic's a little different here. At this point, Eve is still in Africa. She's not at her parents. I don't know if that's even going to happen or not. They do share a kiss in the comic by this point, so it's a little awkward at this moment in the comic, and that hasn't happened yet in the show.
Yeah. I think it's going to be kind of weird when they get together, because I think that if you haven't read the comic and you're just watching this show, you're going to feel like maybe he should be with Amber instead of her.
Yeah, the comic heavily implicates that they eventually will get together, and there's some unresolved feelings there on both sides there. They have Eve kind of looking at Mark longingly in many a panel, you know, going back many issues.
Yeah. And, you know, besides that, Eve, like for those that you don't know, she had this thing going on with Rexplode, and that's Jason Mizukis, who I think he's fucking awesome in this show too.
He's great.
Yeah, this is like a standout episode for him, because most of the team goes to Mars. He hangs back with Duplicate. And then what's the little shrinking one called? Shrinking Ray?
Shrinking Ray.
Yeah. And so he's the one that sends Eve with the rest of the team on the mission. He kind of comes into her house. He sneaks into her house and, you know, says that she should go join the team. They need her help. And it's this real like heart to heart kind of conversation that's not in the comic, right?
No, because Invincible is the one that brings her along for the mission.
There you go. Yeah. And like the heart to heart, it's like so earnest. And, you know, Jason Mizukis, he kind of has that voice where like everything sounds like he's being sarcastic. But when he's talking to her, like his voice tone, you know, he changes the tone of his voice. And,
yeah, you take his conversation a lot more seriously.
Right, right. And so it's like, okay, he's probably going to fucking die then.
Yeah, maybe.
maybe, yeah. So speaking of which, we get another threat. We get the Lizard League. And yeah,
which very much just feels like a, you know, Serpent Society, Cobra Commander, Cobra sort of thing, or, you know, analog.
Yeah. The guy that's in charge of them sounds just like Cobra Commander.
Yeah. And I feel like the one he kills was sort of like Serpentor.
Right.
Because he had like that snake helmet sort of thing.
Right. Right. And he shot him in the back of the head. Yeah. Have you ever read any comics that have the Serpent Society in them?
Probably.
Yeah. But I feel like if I've ever seen them in a Marvel comic, they're just there for like an initial fight. They're never like the main bad guys.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, they're kind of like the Wrecking Crew where like they might have a scene where superheroes bust them, but it's just like kind of like establishing the team.
Yeah. It's like, oh, they're strong, but they're not really that much of a threat.
Right. Right. And so like, I know that they were actually going to be, I mean, this is a little side tangent. We're talking about Marvel now, but like, I think they were supposed to be in Captain America, what's the new one called with like Falcon? It's called like New World Order or something, or
no, they changed it. They did rename it recently. I don't know what the new name is.
Yeah. It's Brave New World, I think.
Yeah, that might be it.
Yeah. Oh dude, we're getting more viewers here. Look, we got somebody else here saying, this is, oh man, I'm going to fuck up your name. I'm sorry. Oira Mui, they couldn't account for the mid-season break. If they knew about the mid-season break, they would have recapped the Serpent Society. They didn't establish the Serpent's new threat. Okay. Yeah. That's kind of what Brian was saying before.
I don't remember. I mean, they were just threatening with nukes, weren't they? They established that.
Oh. Okay, yeah. I don't know. I feel like in the first part of the season, they were really going heavy with, like, who's the guy with the really big brain? Angstrom Levy.
Fun fact, by this point in the comic, Angstrom Levy is resolved. Like, that's really already done. There's another comment there. They had to change the leadership. Yeah, but they showed that somewhere. I did watch a recap of the first four episodes. So yeah. Maybe that's where I'm remembering that, but they did show that.
Yeah. That's why the Serpent Society is more powerful.
Yeah, yeah. The guy's name? Lizard Commander. Yeah. The other guy. Yeah. They definitely show that at some point. Yeah.
Yeah. And when they come on, man, they are like pretty fucking deadly. They kill some guards. They just take them out right away. And then they just mess up Duplicate and Rexplode and Shrinking Ray.
Shrinking Ray. Yeah. Yeah, the comic here is pretty gruesome with it, but they actually up the ante a bit, I think, in the show. They really do, it's pretty close to what they do with Duplicate. They really just keep ripping up all the duplicates and destroy them, basically, and it's pretty gruesome. The real crazy addition there is with what happens with Shrinking Ray. It's a he in the comic, and he just really gets kind of eaten. And he doesn't try to reform himself or re-enlarge himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a really nice, disturbing touch to this scene in the show.
Dude, that was so fucking disturbing because you can hear her like suffocating inside of him.
Yeah.
Like you see the
guy's like shoulder popping out as she's trying to grow. Yeah. We're talking about the break here again in this comment. We did mention that at the beginning of our stream here that these breaks are rough and that, you know, it would have been great. These stories are so dense and there's so much going on, so many plot lines, more than just an A and B plot line here. And it really would have benefited if they could have kept it together. But I know there were production delays and they didn't do this completely on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, the show, it's so well done and they have so many freaking voice actors too. that it makes sense that it takes them a long time to make this.
Yeah.
You know, because there's so many characters to begin with, and then they have so many different big stars as all the voices.
Yeah.
You know?
So clip shows. Okay. Yeah. There's a lot of people that feel differently about clip shows. Yes, they can be helpful. They can catch up. But for the people that are binging it and catching up, when you see those clip shows show up sometimes, like, you know, you get real annoyed just rewatching things you already saw. I remember there's some anime I watch called Solo Leveling. And I remember there was a big article about, like, Mr. Beast was watching it, and the new episode came up, and it was a clip show, and everyone was collectively pissed and, like, downvoted the episode because it was a clip show when they were expecting something new. So they're kind of like a double-edged sword. Like, if I was sitting here watching this show expecting to get new content and I got a clip show instead, I might be a little angry at the same time.
Yeah. Dude, remember back in the day before there were streaming shows or anything like that, and, like, just a regular show, like Seinfeld or something, would have just a clip episode?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And then remember going back to when we were kids, remember they had like Transformers Generation 2, but all it was the original show, but just like with a special 3D background.
3D, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that kid like sitting on Optimus's shoulder.
Yes.
Yeah. So, we appreciate your comments, man. And then, so let's keep going with our breakdown of the show. So, Rexplode is fighting with I'm calling them the Serpent Society, whatever the fuck they're called, the Lizard League.
Lizard League.
And he kind of gets his second win. He takes out the one that has the claws. He takes one of his discs and puts it in the big guy's mouth and like blows up his head. But then the new leader of the Lizard League holds a gun to the back of his head. And it's like, is he going to die? You know?
I do know what happened from the comics. I can spoil that for you if you like, but maybe they'll change it. Who knows? They leave on a cliffhanger there. And at the same time, you know, we're simultaneously seeing what's going on with the Sequids in outer space as well. And we're kind of left with the cliffhanger there as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a pretty juicy episode. It was like 52 minutes. There's the guy that Shapesmith is impersonating, that astronaut. Still back on Mars, and he's like controlled by the Sequids. He's like their mouthpiece, and he's just attacking all the heroes in waves of Sequids. Robot's able to do this thing with his armor where he can like knock out a whole bunch of them, but there's just so many of them that they just keep attacking. Eve is able to hold up a shield to protect herself from the rest of them, but then she just gets overwhelmed, and without her powers, like her armor is off too, so she's vulnerable. So I think that like a robot's out of his armor, shield. Adam Eve doesn't have her armor, so at least the two of them could get infected too.
Yes,
but I think the rest of them, their skin makes them.
Yeah, they're fairly invulnerable, so they're otherwise safe. But you got to remember that as long as the Sequids need a human host, they need a host in order to be able to use their kind of singular mind. And if they don't have that, they lose that, and they become the state they were with the Martians, the kind of that subservient state. So that's a big key point there.
Yeah. But otherwise, that's following the comic pretty accurately.
Yeah. Both those scenes were pretty accurate to how it goes in the comic. I mean, the only thing that's really largely different is the fact that they haven't finished resolved all the storyline with Action Levy yet.
Yeah.
And there's some other shuffled things around too. Like I feel like Robot just got the clone body a bit more recently. Mm-hmm. But he's had that since the end of season one, in the show. Yeah. The other things going on here too, I feel like there wasn't too much with Invincible's mom in this episode, but I still do just like how they kind of added a little depth to the character, I think, here. They're making her a little more independent and strong. The way she reacts to the existence of Mark's brother, I think I like in the show better.
Oh, yeah.
That's really it.
No, I mean, what the hell is the name of the actress that plays her?
Sandra
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, she was really good in Killing Eve. Sandra Oh, if you're going to cast her as the mom, you got to give her something to work with there, you know? And I think she does this really great job. There's a lot of what's great about this show and what was great about the comic. The comic had a lot of panels where there's not dialogue and you just see people like looking at things. And I always know that it's like, that's much more effective than just filling panels up with dialogue. And you'll have these like sort of thoughtful moments that show character growth or give you a little insight into the character. And she has those moments like with the cabinet opening to the wine glasses.
Yeah.
Right. That was like an issue in the last part of the season. And, you know, she's just dealing with the fact that, like, the guy that she loved, she had a child with, it turns out he's an alien. She knew that, but that race wants to basically wipe out humanity, and that she's just basically considered, like, a pet to him. You know, yeah. Just, like, dealing with that, it's just all about her having to process that and get over that.
Yeah.
And she's gone back to work. She's, like, doing a real estate job. And then Mark comes with this curveball, basically showing her that, like, you know, Nolan's out there and he's having kids with someone else at this point.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's more stuff with that too. And I guess we don't have to really spoil too much of that, but you know, in the comic more happens with her and with Nolan too. But Nolan, as far as we know at this point, is a prisoner of, the Viltrumites.
Yes.
And then last but not least, as we kind of wrap up this invincible discussion, we also learned that the guy Thaddeus, who's in charge of like the Intergalactic Council or whatever the hell it's called, he's a Viltrumite.
Yes. And I'm surprised I didn't see that coming, honestly. I don't know why. I remember being so confused because he, towards the end of the last episode we saw in episode 4, maybe it was 3, he takes Alan the alien off of life support after he's recovering from the battle with the Viltrumites. And it was like, is this a villainous turn here? Like, what's going on? What are they changing? But it turns out it is sort of lined up with the show. It's just Alan has kind of healed and he's become a lot stronger. So he kind of took all this punishment and it kind of has made him more resilient. And he looks a lot bigger now as well. So Thaddeus took him off life support to kind of kickstart that process and, you know, kind of risk his life to see if they make him stronger. And now he says that he's potentially as strong as a Viltrumite now, which is good. And then, you know, he reveals himself by saying, well, how do you know that? He reveals himself to be the only Viltrumite to his knowledge before Invincible to rebel against the Viltrumite Empire.
Yeah. Yeah. With Alan's race, it's like literally, or at least with Alan specifically, it's very much that expression, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yes.
And, you know, he's basically to the point of death, and then he comes back super strong now. But then it's funny, right? Because you have essentially Seth Rogen talking to Peter Cullen.
Yeah. Right?
And, I mean, would you ever picture that you would be watching a show based on a comic where Seth Rogen is talking to Peter Cullen?
Nope.
Yeah. So that's a cool twist. And that's pretty much the last scene of the episode.
Yeah, that's the last thing you see. That was like a little post-credit scene.
Yeah. So, is there anything that you're looking forward to in the rest of the season?
Yeah, but it's really just spoiler territory from the comics. So, but one thing I'm looking forward to is if they alter anything with Ancient Levy. I mean, they seem to have made him out to be a bigger part of the show than the comic itself. So, I'm curious if they change anything or enhance anything further from there.
Yeah. And who's he voiced by?
Oh man, I don't remember. Is that Wayne Brady?
Oh, really? That's cool.
Is it Wayne Brady? Probably. I think so.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that is pretty much our Invincible Season 2, Episode 5 review. We just basically kind of recapped it and just compared it to the comic. That's what we do on Comic Books Transformed. We basically talk about the comic that the show is based on or the movie is based on and give our 2 cents. I'd like to thank everyone that was watching while we were doing this live. Mr. Frank, that was awesome to have you on here. And, you know, if you guys want, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel or, you know, find us on Spotify. But right now, Brian and I are going to pop out of this stream and then we're going to record a review of the first episode of X-Men 97. So make sure you guys check that out too. But we'll see you guys real soon.